Is that video camera running? Oh, okay. Good. I didn't want to have to act dignified and all that stuff. I don't think I could do that anyway. James chapter 3. I'm going to tell a Polish joke. He'll probably tell you one too. James 3:1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us the power of words. And Proverbs 18 mentions that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use our tongue as much as possible to produce life. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand the importance of words and to know that we are going to give an account. Everybody in this room is going to give an account of every word that we say, every thought that we think. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be clear in our words and understanding and understand your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, James 3, it's obvious. It's about the mouth. And I just thought I'd read about that. I'm going to preach about something else. So let's go someplace else. No, I just thought that was pretty good. No, sins of the mouth. The number one sin that's talked about more in the Bible than anything is idolatry. Okay. The second sin is that's talked about more than anything is the sins of the mouth. It all began at the mouth. Eve stuck something in her mouth that she shouldn't have. And sins of the mouth are still in place today. Little babies, the problem they have is they like to stick something in their mouth. And a parent is forever trying to keep it out of her mouth or his mouth. And people, adults, still have the same problem. They stick something in their mouth and they have a problem with these things. Whether it's dope or they drink it down. Or whether it's their fleshly appetites. Now, obviously, sins of the mouth will get into our words. Words have power. And what makes us different than the animals? Humans are not mammals. And maybe some of these guys act like they came from monkeys, but we didn't. And there are differences between humans and animals, and it's very easy. We communicate by words. Animals communicate by sounds. They communicate by sounds and they operate by instincts that God placed in them. Humans communicate by words. When God wants to make something known to us, he communicates it by his word. John 1:1 that the kids quoted. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word there is capitalized, W, capital W, three times in that verse. You'll find it again in John 1:14. You'll find it again in 1 John 1:1. Again in 1 John 5:7. And the last time in Revelation 19:13, that's seven times. God communicates to us through words. Now, Americans are being conditioned to go by people's sounds. They don't listen to the words anymore. They listen to your tone of your voice. And that's an animal instinct. And that's why the Bible at times will refer to humans as natural brute beast. The animals a lot of times are not as perverted as these humans are. And really, they're not as dirty as some humans. You know, hogs live a lot cleaner than some humans, where I've seen them live. And Americans are getting towards animalistic natures. They say let nature take its course. James 3 shows that nature, when it takes its course, ends in hell. James 3, 6. Setting on fire the course of nature. Where does a course of nature lead to? And is set on fire of hell. That's where it goes. And so animals go by sounds, basically seven sounds that they operate by. And they'll go by the tone of your voice. You can say, good dog, and the thing will cower down. And you can say very gently, good dog, come on here, come on boy, come here, I'm going to shoot you, you know, like that, and a dog come right over to you. Because they go by sounds. Now, I realize that you can say a word and they may respond to that, but that is a conditioned response. Okay, so there's power of words, and we need to be very interested in words. Words mean things. Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning about words and the power thereof. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 17, verse 27. The first thought is to choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. Proverbs 17, verse 27 shows that a man of knowledge spareth his words. Proverbs 17, 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now, if you study the differences between the races, and there are differences, and if you are around Oriental people, Japanese, Chinese, they don't talk a whole lot. They're very quiet. Why? They're very smart. And the old saying goes, I would rather sit there and look dumb than to open my mouth and prove it. And in the Bible, the one that is known by a multitude of words is a fool. So it looks like I'm the biggest fool here this morning because I'm doing most of the talking. But that's what preaching is. It's foolishness, 1 Corinthians 1. And the more you speak, there's more chances of you saying something wrong. And when the tape recorder gets out, that's when you need to be very careful what you say. Now, if you want to demonstrate this and by experiment, get talking to any public official. And then about 2 minutes into the conversation, whip out a tape recorder, turn it on, and watch them be very careful what they say. Words mean things. And a person has to be very careful and choose their words. Words can encourage. Words can challenge. Words can destroy people's lives. Three words, a set of three words will help produce a happy family. One is, I love you. Another one is, I am sorry. I was wrong. Now, there's a true apology. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Instead of, you misinterpreted what I said. That perverted thing that went on at halftime at the Super Bowl, which I didn't see, In the newspaper, did you read their so-called apology? It said, if we offended anyone, that isn't an apology. Her face was offensive. That's why they got to put all that makeup on to cover up the ugliness under there, I guess. But even at that, we offend all the time. Our words offend. But you see, that wasn't an apology. An apology is admitting you're wrong. Now, if you didn't mean what you said, then correct what you said and apologize. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shut my mouth off. People say, well, I speak my mind. You don't want to speak your mind. You want to speak all the words that have gone through your mind? The thoughts? Can you describe the thoughts that go through your head sometimes? Would you like to describe some of the dreams that you've had? If your mind was played on the screen, what rate would we have to put on it? See, thoughts come through our head because all these TV programs and radio programs are floating through the air and all that stuff gets in through us. And a person has to be careful what you say. Look, if you would, at Matthew 12. Choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. A right word at the right time with the right spirit can help somebody for eternity. Choose your words carefully. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Ouch. You ain't that ouch. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. When the Lord is playing that tape recorder on the day of judgment, isn't there going to be times we're going to want to say, erase that, please. Hit the pause button. Oh, don't even get into that. You know? Lord, I covered it in a shed blood. He said, well, let's check it out and see. And it comes up blank. Boy, thank God for that erase thing. But what if we didn't cover it in a shed blood? Confess it as sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. True confession is demonstrated by King David in Psalms 51. That's the kind of confession we need to make. Carefully choose our words. Now, our words should be words of Scripture. Look, if you want, in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. A person should be able to, should know the Bible well enough that if somebody asks you a question why you believe something, you say, well, this is why I believe it, and quote the Bible verse. In fact, in Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel was asking a question, an angel said to him, I am going to show you what is noted in the Scripture of truth. That's what the angel said. Colossians 4, verse 3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as it ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. 1 Peter 4:11, the first phrase says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So a person needs to choose their words carefully. The second thing, a person needs to carefully listen to words. Now, a lot of times if people get in a heated discussion, a lot of words are throwing back and forth, but no listening is taking place. What's going on in a heated discussion, a person will say something, the other guy hears that part, and then what he wants to challenge, from then on out, he'll see lips moving, mouth talking, jaw going up and down. Nothing is coming in. He is planning his strategy for the time he gets in to say his thing. Then he starts his thing, and the other one hears the first initial things, and their brain goes in neutral, and they start figuring out, they see lips moving, jaw jacking, and all that stuff, and they're planning their strategy. Nobody's listening. It is amazing what listening does. We have two ears, one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we talk. But when you ask somebody a question and you just sit and listen, you'll find out most people can tell you all they know in 5 minutes or less. And after they get telling you what they do know, and you just sit there and listen and don't respond, their battery starts wearing out. They don't have ever ready, I guess. And you'll see that they actually start draining down. It's kind of comical. And you'll see that they don't know what they're talking about. Play dumb. Find out. Some of us don't have to play too much, but even at that. But ask people questions. This, you see, a lot of times people get in religious discussion. You get talking about the Bible. The reason why tempers always flare is because one or both parties have weak arguments. Truth needs no props. It just stands there. And the thing is you just sit there and listen. You don't have to waste time reading about what Mormons believe. You don't have to waste time reading what the JWs believe or the Catholics or anything like that. You don't have to take the time or read stuff on Calvinism. I tell you, if you want to read some of the boringest literature, read anything about Calvinism, written by a Calvinist. Boy, that is a dry thing to read. But if you say, well, how would I be prepared to deal with these people? Let them talk. If you got the time, let them talk, and you'll see it. They'll talk themselves in a corner from their own words. Why? A heretic is condemned of himself. Their own words will speak against them. So you let them talk. That's how one of the ways I deal with telemarketers. I don't talk. I don't answer them. I had one went on for 3 minutes. I don't know even if they took a breath. After 3 minutes, they say, how's that sound? I didn't say anything. And they go, hello? And I just sat there and smiled, tried not to laugh. Hello? And evidently, they were practicing because their supervisor said, they said to their supervisor, well, I talked for 3 minutes, but nobody's there. Now what do I do? Hang up, stupid. Just let them talk. You see, if you get talking to JW and they shoot their spiel, listen to them. People say, well, what if I'm deceived? If your heart's right and you're sincere and you're trying to find the truth, you won't be deceived. You can't con an honest man. Just listen to him. Now, I wouldn't take a lot of time, waste a lot of time with it, unless you got the time, if you want to learn a little something. I try to try, when somebody's telling me what they believe, I try to get in their brain by questions. I'm trying to think, what would make you believe this? Because it's very illogical to me. I was talking to two Mormon boys, telling them, and I was trying to show them that being born again is like the first birth, where you are given life as a gift. And I mentioned about being born again, and I said, the first time you got born, what did you do? And the one kid looked at me and said, I decided to get born. Well, I thought that was interesting. I said, you did? From inside mama, you said, what'd you do, push up? Say, I went out, you know, push the, you know, you had little babies put their foot out this way and, you know, arm out this way. You decided you were going to be born? He said, yeah. I said, how'd you do this? He said, I was in the spirit world. I said, you were? That was a new one on me. I didn't read anything about that, so I just asked questions. I said, oh, you were in the spirit world and you decided to come down here as flesh? Who would be in heaven and want to come down to this mess? So then I asked him, I said, where did you come up with that idea? He said, the book of Moses. I said, which one? There's five. He said, no, there's another one. I said, oh, there's a sixth one. I said, do you got a copy? No. I said, oh, here you're not going to give me this fabulous truth, and you don't have any verification of your truth. And then before he gets out the door, I said, now remember, the angels, and I'd already told him, the angels were spirits who took on flesh. What happens to them? just use a little Bible you know. And he says, you mean I'm going to hell? I said, pal, if you were a spear and you came down to flesh, you ain't dealing with a full deck. That's why Ephraim is called half-baked in Hosea 7, verse 8. Just dealing with them with logic. You see, you let people talk and listen to them. Listen to the words very carefully. Now, it depends on what your motive is to listen to them. Look in John chapter 8. Now, look at how the Pharisees listened to Jesus Christ. John 8, verse 51. Now, this is typical. Typical, the way people listen. Or the lack thereof. It's called selective hearing. Wives probably know that husbands have selective hearing. But John 8:51, Jesus speaking, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Here's what the Pharisees heard. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Did he say anything about taste? He said, see death. See, that's how people are. One word change makes a difference. Now, when you get talking to people, if they quote you, make sure they get it right. See, that's the purpose of the copyright laws, is to protect from misquotations. And most things are done through hearsay. Most people live their life according to hearsay. He said, I heard him say, and he said this. That's hearsay. But you got to listen to a person's words carefully. Jesus Christ did not say taste. He said see death. The disciples had the same problem as we all humans have the same problem. Look in John 21. Now, the thing is, we got to listen carefully to people's words. John 7, 21. Now, it's obvious the Pharisees were his enemies, so they're going to take his words and twist them. 21, 21. That's where I went ahead. See how careful the words have to be said? John 21, way at the back. Okay, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing this, the disciple whom Jesus loved, following which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him that saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? See how they change words? We do the same thing. And that's why we need to listen very carefully to people's words. Consider them. Now, when somebody criticizes something that you believe or something that you've done, listen carefully. Listen carefully to what they say. Should you reject it because they're a critic? No, because we all have blind spots. Listen carefully. Now, if somebody who is your friend that has said something that you have heard that's been derogatory towards you, does that mean we believe it and then we break up our friendship? No. Look in Ecclesiastes 7. Now, the thing that sets the Bible off more than any other book is that you could tell the author of this book has insight to the human nature. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. Say you're a boss on a job and you've got an employee you've heard criticized you. So you're automatically mad about the situation. First off, you didn't check the situation, so you don't know if it's true or not. So you have to search the thing out. And let's say it's true. Are you mad at the guy? Ecclesiastes 7:21, it says, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Now, isn't that an insight into human nature? Well, they said such and such about me. Haven't you said such and such about somebody else? Well, they cursed me. Haven't you cursed somebody else? Boss said, well, that employee said this about me. What have you said about him? There's all of us at all times. Sometimes we've just spouted off something because we were upset about it. But when somebody says something, you can consider them for self-improvement. If they match the scriptures, consider them and change. If they don't match the scriptures, throw them out the window. Who cares? In one ear, out the other. It's real easy for me. Just go straight right across. No obstructions. You don't need to worry about those things. Several years ago down at truck stop, you know, after I got done preaching, guy after the thing wanted to make a comment to me. I could sense that it was going to be a slam or something, you know, a criticism. And so he looks at me. He said, I want to say one thing to you. I said, oh, what's that? He said, you were 50% negative. He meant it as a criticism. I smiled and said, oh, good, that's perfect balance. He didn't like the effect. No, you misunderstood. You were 50% negative. And I said, thanks. I said, your truck's got a negative and a positive post, one and one, that's 50%. Evidently, that's a good balance. And then he proceeded to try to tell me why it was bad. And so I listened. And he told me all he knew in about 2 minutes. And I get in my car. And I think Charles was with me that day. And I get in the car and I said, Lord, what about that? I said, should I consider that? And I didn't get a whole lot of response, seemed like. The Lord's not in a hurry to answer our questions immediately. 7 days go by. Back to the truck stop. Preach the same message. Same 50% negative. Two men got saved that morning. Get in the car on the way home. Then the Lord says, now that question that you asked last week, what about that? I said, I got the message. That's pretty good. See? Consider people's words, but if they don't match the scriptures, throw them out. Why should we consider them? Because your critics often tell the truth about you. They tell the truth about your blind spots. Instead of getting mad at the driver for wailing on the horn because you were going to pull over, you ought to thank him because they saved an accident. Carefully, carefully listen to people's words. Listen to them very closely. Now look, if you would, in Luke chapter 4. Now, I don't care how perfect a man is or how sinless he is. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. Now let's see about a sinless man who we know that every word that he says is inspired of God. The Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 4 verse 18 or 16, if you read down through the storyline, he is in the synagogue. He has opened up a copy of the book of Isaiah. He read one and a half verses. Obviously, they didn't have chapter and verse markings, but as far as ours laid out, he read one and one-half verse. He closed the book, verse 20, and he started preaching verse 22. And it says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? Now, the average person would read that right there and say, see, looky there. Everybody loved the words of Jesus Christ. They were so enamored with his gracious words. He spoke flawlessly. He spoke words of comfort. He spoke words of love. But keep reading, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. By the time this loving Savior gets down to verse 28, they are so mad at him because they want to throw him over a cliff. And in fact, if he wouldn't have allowed it to happen, if he would have allowed it to happen, they would have done it. Verse 29. Now, what was it that he said from verse 22 to verse 30 that made him, verse 28, made him so mad? And his words were inspired of God. They were exactly what God wanted him to say. The Lord Jesus Christ's words were given in love, and they were given in truth, and they were given exactly the way God wanted them to, under the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And these people are mad at a hornet at him. And he didn't even say the magical word, verse 25 and 26. All he did was insinuated the magical word. The magical word that was going to set these people off was the word Gentiles. Now, if you want to see it in action in your Bible, Acts 22, 22. Paul is speaking in Hebrew, and the first 21 verses, those Jews were excited about what he's saying. But in verse 22, he said the word Gentiles. And immediately when he said that word, they went off on him, wanted to kill him for saying one word. Getting away Americans are, aren't they? You say a magical word, and all of a sudden you get fired. You can say all sorts of other things. You can cuss a man out, you won't get fired. But if you say the magical word, whatever it is, here's the inspired words of God by the Lord Jesus Christ, and people are still mad at him. Now, I don't care how perfect your speech is, and I don't care how you guard your tongue as best you can, and we should. There are still going to be people that's upset with what you say. Let's see what happened to the Lord. Let's look at the community as a whole. Matthew chapter 8, verse 34. We're living in a day and age where public policy is so important. Public policy. Well, let's see what happens when the public has the Lord Jesus Christ walk into his town. Matthew 8, verse 34. If you back up, you see in verse 28, this is the salvation story of the maniacs of Gadara. Don't you know these guys was causing havoc in the town? And after the Lord gave the guy some sense and some foundation in life and changed his behavior, what did the entire city say about this? Verse 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Get out of town. We don't like your kind here. What kind is that? Helping a guy in a nut house living in a cemetery, getting some sense in his head, putting his clothes back on? We don't want your kind here. What kind is that? Sinless kind, that's what kind it is. Chapter 9, verse 24, another reaction from the public. 9:24. This is the healing. It says, and when he said unto them, Jesus getting ready to heal a young maid that is dead. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Some people are going to laugh what to say. Scornful laughter. They laughed at what Jesus Christ said. Laughed to scorn. Okay, let's try his enemies. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. Now this is understood. This is expected from our enemies. Mark 3, 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth out devils. The words that Jesus Christ preached, these people said, he's a devil. He's a devil. Wow. Sinless words, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. And they said, he's got a devil. Well, who cares about what the enemy say? Let's try what his friend says. Say, back up one verse. Let's see what his friends say. And when his friend heard of it, they went out, lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. He's a fanatic. That's what his friend said. You say, what do you do when your friends say that? Just smile and go on. Doesn't mean anything. shouldn't hurt your friendship. He is beside himself. Which is kind of a funny statement. Beside, I thought I was in myself. But he's beside himself. He's nuts. He's crazy. I think I'm nuts and crazy too. So I'm going to say you're nuts. I say, I agree. So what? You're a fanatic. Thank you. I think I am. I believe we're supposed to be. The Lord said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's pretty fanatical. We're supposed to be. What about his disciples? John chapter 6. You see, there are times where you may give somebody a truth that's shocking to them, and they're going to look at you and say, you know, that is crazy. Don't get all defensive about it. Just say, yeah, it does seem like it, doesn't it? Just think about it for a while. Just think about it and ask God to reveal your light on that subject. John 6, verse 60. Here's what they said about Jesus. These are his friends. These are his disciples. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this saying, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Verse 66, the only 666 in the New Testament. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Knowing the Lord the way he is, what do you think would happen if those one or two or three of those disciples came to Jesus Christ about 2 years later or about a year later? Didn't have much time, but came to him about a year later. Or let's say they waited 10 years and came to Jesus Christ through prayer. And said, boy, Lord, I was dead wrong about that. You think the Lord would come back and say, I knew you were, you knucklehead. He'd have probably just come back and say, yeah, I knew you were, but ain't you glad you got it right? You see, there are some truths, it just takes a while to percolate in. They say, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah, you can, but it does take a while. It takes a lot of time. And the thing is, even though you and I should very carefully choose our words, and even though we should very carefully listen to words, we need to realize also that the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke sinless words, still had people who slandered him. He had his enemies say he was a devil. He had his friends say he's beside himself. He had his disciples said, this is hard, man. I'm taking off. But eventually, if a person is honest and they are interested in the truth, eventually that truth can percolate into an honest heart and an honest mind and bear some fruit. And the thing is, we do, when we speak the truth, then we're patient in letting God work in people's lives. Carefully choose your words, carefully listen to your words, and then carefully consider the words of Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to very carefully and intently